Appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and look forward to hearing Brother Kenny preach. And I'm thankful very much for the Lubbock Church and for Brother Kenny and the fellowship that we've enjoyed in the past and do now as well. And would appreciate your prayers the short time that we stand before you. Last night, I thought I would be at my home church this morning, but when I got to the airport in Dallas, all of the flights were canceled to Washington, Baltimore, New York, Philadelphia. There was a glitch with the air traffic control in Virginia, and it affected the East Coast. And so when I realized I couldn't get home last night or today, maybe not until tomorrow, took the rent car and headed toward Lubbock. And so I wanted to, Brother Kenny had invited me a while back, and so this was a good opportunity to swing by and get to see the folks here and also hear Brother Kenny preach. I read the obituary recently of Sister Marie Bass and looked at the pictures that were accompanying the obituary, and on one of the pictures, it had a picture of the gravestone of Brother Harvey Bass, and the scripture was inscribed upon the gravestone, and this is the verse that we'll read, Psalm 48, verse 2. And those of you that knew Brother Harvey Bass, remember him quoting this verse. This was his theme verse in his life. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Lord willing, I'll speak just a few minutes on this portion of verse and then want to mention one of the marks that the children of God have that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion symbolic of? It's symbolic of the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Got here just a few minutes early. You have to leave early from Dallas, Texas to get here early before church in Lubbock. And I got here a few minutes early and drove by 44th and Avenue P and 23rd and Avenue X. And as I drove by those locations, it brought back some wonderful, wonderful memories. As I drove by 44th and P, I remembered the time of the ordination service of Elder Mike Rogers and myself. And then as I drove by 23rd and X, I remembered the time of my baptism. I remembered attending my first ordination, and that was the ordination of Brother Dale Johnson back there. And it was the first ordination that I'd ever attended at the in the Primitive Baptist. And it brought back to memory those early years and the impressions that found a lodging place in my mind that affected me the rest of my life. The joy of the whole earth, is it really the joy of the whole earth for us? The older I get, the more I realize that truly it is the joy of the whole earth. I've been blessed to see some beautiful sights. I enjoy traveling and seeing different parts of the country, and I've seen some beautiful areas, but there's nothing that compares with the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's more than the building. I'm thankful for the building. The building's a blessing. And I'm thankful that we're able to have wonderful buildings to meet in and to worship in. But the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he's talking about is the people. It's you and I. It's his people. And he says that this is the greatest blessing upon the entire earth. So anything else that we try to put in place of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it doesn't even bring a close second place. Brother Harvey had it right. the joy of the whole earth. And as he lived that verse, it was his theme verse as he lived. And he would oftentimes share that verse with you. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. And then he comes down, and we'll just scan down to the last few verses here. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. I think that just simply means take a walk around Zion. Take a walk inside Zion for the purpose of thinking back upon the blessings of Zion. I travel around occasionally large church buildings that it back east that at one time were so full that they, when they would have large meetings, that they would actually have another preacher on the outside, they said, preaching on the outside while they had a preacher preaching on the inside. And I enjoy walking around those buildings and thinking about what it must have been like during those days when the Lord was adding to the church and blessing the church. Walk about Zion. Think about what a blessing that it's been in your life, what a blessing it is to you in your life. And then, as Brother Afton Richards reminded us over and over again in his messages, you're not going to get the fullness of the blessings of Zion on the outside of Zion. There's blessings on the outside of Zion. There certainly is. But in order to get the full benefit of Zion, you've got to come on the inside of Zion. You've got to come inside the Lord's house. And you've got to apply it in your life. And it's got to be an active role in your life. And not only do you have to come on the inside of Zion, but in order to get the fullness of Zion, you've got to really come on the inside of Zion. You've got to take up your cross in gospel baptism and follow as a disciple of Jesus Christ in order to get the full blessings and benefit of Zion on the inside of Zion. He says, walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark the different points and the different marks within Zion. He says, mark ye well her bulwarks. That is like a defensed wall. That is a wall of defense. A bulwark is like something on a ship. It's from the ground that you're walking on up to the side of the ship, and it stands as a defense. And he says, mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. And he says, you do it not just for your own good, not just for your own benefit. But he says, you do it and you share it with the generations to come. You share it with your children. You share it with your grandchildren. I remember those special times that I would ask my grandmother and my grandfather, what does this mean? I remember the first time that the doctrines of grace were, that I was exposed to the doctrines of grace, and it seemed foreign. I thought that God came and gave everybody a chance. And when I realized in Romans chapter 8 and in Romans chapter 9 and Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2 that he wasn't talking about the entire human race, but that every single one that Jesus Christ died for upon the cross of Calvary, without the loss of one, that he died for a specific group of people, and that in that number, that very same number that he died for, without the loss of one, will live with him in glory. Amen. I remember asking my grandmother and grandfather, I said, this is what that church believes. Have you ever heard anything like that? My grandmother and grandfather said, oh yes. And that's what we believe as well. I began to study it, and it began to be one of the marks of Zion that I love and appreciate. I remember asking about some of the marks that, well, why is it that the worship is so simple? We don't have the instruments to accompany the service. We don't have the different auxiliaries for the young folks. And Can you tell me why? And I rejoiced when I realized that that was the New Testament example in the book of Acts of the New Testament worship. And that anything that we add to the worship service is really taking away from what the Lord designed. We've got the authority for singing, praying, and preaching. And it covers all age groups. Don't have to have a special ministry for the elderly and another special ministry for another group. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, when preached, and the Lord blesses with the preaching of the gospel, it feeds the souls of a 5-year-old and it feeds the souls of a 105-year-old at the same time. The joy of the whole earth. If it is the joy of the whole earth for us, do we actually act like it is? I've heard it said that some folks build their life around the church, and others build the church around their life. If it is the joy, if it is our primary joy in our life, we'll seek the Lord first. We'll put it above everything else. We'll make our plans and we'll plan our schedule around worshiping the Lord first. Seek ye first. Elder Sonny Powell said, it's acceptable to have a whole lot of seconds, but there's only one first, and that's the Lord and His church. Now, one of the songs that we sang triggered my thoughts on this next topic, and I'll share this with you. I thought two of the songs, all of the singing was a blessing to me, but the last song that we sang, and then this one as well, I'll read to you. When the Lord bids us walk through the valley of woe, we would falter and fall by the way, were it not for our faith, ever strong to press on, till we get to the brightness of day. If the pathway be rough as we journey along, then our faith makes us look far ahead. For the light that e'er shines on a road that is smooth, where our footsteps forever may tread. Now our faith is an anchor to which we may cling, all secure till the tempest is done. Walk by faith and not sight in obedience to God, for 'tis thus that our victory is won. I'll take just a couple of minutes and speak on the faith that God gives us. Brother Afton Richards said that one of his sons was engaged in a ball game, and the coach called all the team together. It was a playoff game, and he called all the team together before the final playoff game, and he said, "You guys need to have faith that you're going to win this game." And he said, "If you don't have faith, then you better go home tonight, and you better find some faith. You better get some faith so that you'll win this game tomorrow." I can remember Brother Afton saying, that's not how we get faith. Faith is a gift from God. And if you are a child of God, you have faith. In Galatians chapter 5, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, if you have been born of the Spirit of God, then here's some things that accompany that spiritual birth. If you've been born of the Spirit of God, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and the next one is something that the songwriter knew something about. The next one that you have that's a gift from God is faith. What is it that keeps you keeping on when the way gets rough, when it looks pretty dark, when it looks pretty dim ahead of you? There's something that's been put inside of you, and it's called faith. Hebrews chapter 11, wonderful examples here of folks that we can look back in our life and see that they had strong faith. I encourage you to read. Brother George used to always give us homework, and Hebrews chapter 11 is some good homework for all of us. A couple of points here in this verse. Now faith, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what's on the inside. He talks about, he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God, and that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. He says, we understand that the world's just something very, very basic right here. Do you believe when you read that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Do you believe that? Well, what evidence do you have? It's that faith that God gave you on the inside, that when you hear it and it bears witness with the faith that you have on the inside, it helps you to embrace it and to believe it. You know that it sounds pretty strange and far-fetched to think that things just came together in evolution and just coincided with a big bang, and all of a sudden we had the earth and we had people and we had things like that in it. You know that it took the hand of an almighty God to create the world. And when he spoke it into existence, and when he said, let there be light, there was light. And you believe it, you embrace it, and it's because of that faith that you have on the inside. Now, he talks about folks that lived by faith and they died by faith. By the way, when you get to heaven, you're not going to need faith. But you need it right now. And you need it all the way to the end. And you've got it all the way to the end. We had a brother in our church that he had a terminal illness. And every time that I would go visit him in the hospital, every couple of days that I'd see him, he was worse. It was noticeably different. He was substantially worse every single time. And about the fourth time that I saw him, his sons were there, and they said, Dad wants to ask you something. And his voice was so weak that I couldn't understand what he was saying. And his sons came over and they interpreted what he said. And he said, do you think that God has forgotten all about me? That's when our faith gets a little bit weak. When trials come our way, Satan may try to throw a fiery dart to tell us, God's forgotten all about you. I said, Brother Cook, God can't forget about you. He has you written in the palms of his hands. And he's promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he can't forget about us. He said, and I heard this, that sounds real good. It's your faith that is encouraged when you hear the promises of God. God's people are living in difficult times, troubled times, troubled times in the land in which we live, troubled times in our nation, troubled times in our country. We need to hear the promises of God and it'll find a lodging place with our faith. And that's what's going to help us make it to the end. Here's some benefits to faith. These all died in the faith. He's talking about a whole host of folks right here that were faithful: Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac. These all died in faith, not having seen, received the promises. But here's some benefits to faith. But having seen them, faith helps you to see the promises of God. Having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, faith helps us to see the promises. And not only that, but faith persuades us of the promises. Faith persuades us that those promises are for me. It's one thing for them to be for everybody else, but faith persuades you that those promises are for you. He's talking about me. It says faith helps us see them. Faith persuades us of those promises. Faith helps us to embrace those promises and say, that suits my case. That helps my need. That's going to help me get from here to there. He says faith helps me to see them. Faith persuades me of them. Faith embraces those promises. Faith helps us to confess those promises. Faith helps us to get through this life as we look for that heavenly country, that eternal city. Faith is what's on the inside of us. We don't go out and get it. If you're a child of God, you already have it. Your faith may be weak, but I'll tell you what will strengthen it. You read His Word, and those promises are just going to latch on to you, and it's going to encourage and it's going to strengthen your faith. You listen to the preached Word, and it'll find a lodging place, and you'll know that it's there for you. I don't know about you. I'm sure that this has been the case, but there were messages that Brother George preached and Brother Afton preached that honestly, I thought they were going to call my name out. I thought the next thing is they're going to call my name because they were meant for me. And these promises and these messages and these songs that you sing, yeah, they're meant for the folks around you, but they're meant for you. May God bless you.